On our website under inspiration, we have published this essay called Etymology of Spiritual Terms. Now, this is a very ambitious project to unify all the religion in the world with philosophy, both Eastern and Western. Because right now the world is so fragmented and, you know, there's the atheists versus the theists and then the philosophers and so on and so forth. So while we recognize the finer differences, the ultimate objective for peace is to find common grounds. So how do I find common grounds? By going back to the original root of the meaning of the words. Because my working hypothesis is around the whole world, people are using different words to describe the same reality. For the moment, we don't care whether that reality is true or false. We're just describing how human perceive reality all around the world throughout the ages. So we'll be comparing Eastern and Western philosophy, Eastern and Western religion, as well as non-religion in intellect. Okay? If it is the words that after a long tradition of thousands of years, the meaning of the word has changed, that's why we now understand each other differently. In other words, we lost that communication among traditions. So by going back to the root meaning of the word, I should be able to reunite everybody's initial meaning before they were changed, after tradition ruined its meaning. Okay? And that is the basis of this project. In other words, we have to find clear definition and meaning of terms. Because every religion, every philosophy have defined a term, the same word has defined them differently now. So now I'm redefining them according to the original root meaning of each word. So my working assumption is a clear definition and meaning of terms used by various religions is achievable based on their etymological root analysis. So I'm going to analyze the root meaning of each word in order to extract the original meaning out of each word so that that conflict will disappear. I'm saying when the semantics are unambiguous, that means when the meaning are no longer ambiguous, different meaning, equivocation of the same word to mean different things, then spirituality from diverse traditions can be unified again. So this is my objective of doing this. And this is my method. The first statement is a method. I'm going to clearly define the meaning of each word. And the reason why I'm doing this is then I will make all the words unambiguous. And when the words are clear, then the different religions, the different traditions can be unified. That's the beginning. Okay? It's very succinct, very short sentence, but I don't think too many people will understand what that means. So, always backtrack with a longer time, longer history. In ancient times, humans tried to figure out humanity's place in and relationship to the heavens. Mm-hmm. How do we relate to heaven and what is our place in this world, right? So from there, spin out all the religion, all the science and all the philosophy.
Yeah.
It's that one question. It's just we're trying to find our place. So, in order to satisfy this curiosity, the Western world view relies on Creator God as the answer. So, humans' place is humans are created by God. And therefore our relationship to the heavens is to go back to heaven. So that is the Western world's semantics. So I have a table here that says, in the Western culture, its relations to the universe and human. Those three keywords, okay? So in the Western culture, we can have monotheism or polytheism. Greek is polytheism, and the Abrahamic religion is monotheism. That pretty much covers the entire Western civilization's religion.
Mm.
Monotheism and polytheism. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Western culture is mainly European.
European, yeah. But now that same culture is exported to North America. And South America, just the same. And Australia. So then in the universe is God. And the synonyms for God is Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. How does that relate to human? Well, human has a spirit or ghost. Right? So the relationship is very clear. In the universe is Holy Spirit, in man is Spirit. In the universe is Holy Ghost, in human is Ghost. So that satisfies human try to figure out humanity's place in and relationship to the heavens. Right? Very, very simple, straightforward. Let's now look at the Eastern civilization, the other hemisphere. The Eastern worldview philosophizes on natural law. The Eastern civilization emphasis is on finding natural law, not finding God. Why do I say so? Because the original Brahmanism has six traditions. Out of the six traditions, five of them do not believe in a creator God. Apart from the six orthodox philosophy, we have the heterodox, which is mainly Jainism, Buddhism, the other two, Ajivakism, and one more, which is determinism, materialism. So none of those believe in God. The entire Indian subcontinent, only one out of all the tradition, rely on God as the narrative to satisfy, figure out humanity's place. Now, let's go to China. The original so-called religion in China is Taoism. And there is zero God in Taoism. It's all natural law. Later on, there's some polytheism that came on, but that polytheism is just basically aboriginal beliefs. Okay? But the orthodox philosophy, we can't call it even religion, is Taoism. So you can see then, in the ancient times, both the entire Indian subcontinent and the entire China is atheists. And those are the two people who are the cradle of civilization, and they are dominating civilization in Eastern, is India and China, right? No need to mention all the rest of the smaller states. They are obviously polytheists and paganists. So, we can see that the Eastern worldview philosophizes on natural law. That one statement means include everything I just talked about. That's why I want to make a video to explain this. Religion emerges from these natural laws when the philosophy on natural laws were revered as divine. Just like a while ago, we contemplate whether numbers are mathematically divine. Okay? And when we decide that it is divine, it becomes revealed. And now, once we reveal those mathematics divine, divinity, then what do? The ordinary human has the anthropomorphic cognitive bias, remember? We make everything as if they behave like human characters and traits. So they become anthropomorphic deities. Okay? I write this not for ordinary people. People have to have know all this stuff. Okay? It is for very big people who really want to be inspired. They come to my inspirational page. They are not for your ordinary year one, year two student. Whatever I put on the inspirational page has to be inspirational. Okay, has to be something that, oh my God, this guy is trying to unite Eastern Western religion, Eastern Western philosophy, crossing all the border. It's just taking the thinking box of the entire humanity and reunite all of it. Okay, so one sentence will explain the entire history of religion. One word will explain that, you know, the evolution of everything. Okay? So now, we go to the Eastern culture, which is a lot more complicated because now we're dealing with natural law. The Western narrative meaning storytelling, is so simple. The Eastern is more complicated now. So let's first look at China. The first one is Wen Tianxiang. Wen Tianxiang is basically Confucianism, right? He's a learned person, and he was a high minister at the Song Dynasty. During the Song Dynasty, China was conquered by a foreign power. Because Wen Tianxiang was such a good minister, the conqueror wants him to surrender and serve the new dynasty. Wen Tianxiang refused to surrender and choose execution instead.